This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
Imagine walking into your office tomorrow, right? You sit down in your terminal and you just hit the delete button on like 80% of your company's website.
Oh, your sales team would completely panic.
Right. I mean, the marketing director might actually faint. Your CEO would be demanding an immediate explanation. But, you know, if you've ever felt that the sheer frustration of stalled revenue or leads just completely drying up, your first instinct is usually the exact opposite.
Yeah, you want to build.
Exactly. You sit down with the team and brainstorm a sprawling new resource center or maybe a highly complex interactive pricing calculator, just a dozen new service pages. We all carry this deeply ingrained, almost like biological assumption that throwing more digital real estate at a problem just creates a bigger net to catch customers.
It is, it's the ultimate builder's trap, really. We operate on this legacy assumption that sheer volume automatically translates to market dominance. If the leads aren't converting, the natural conclusion is just, well, we simply haven't provided enough information or enough options or, you know, enough keywords to persuade them.
But today, we are asking you to fight that instinct. We are taking a deep dive into website optimization in the year 2026, and we're going to explore the highly counterintuitive power of strategic subtraction.
Which is such a fascinating concept.
It really is. We are pulling insights today from a piece by Paris Jain. He's a 17-year technical engineer and a veteran at Double Dome Digital Marketing. And his central thesis is brutal, but so interesting. He argues that in today's landscape, adding more to your website doesn't turn it into an asset. It actually turns it into a massive revenue-draining liability.
Right. Jain is essentially dismantling that digital hoarding mindset that really dominated the early 2020s. And to understand why a bloated website is so dangerous now, we really have to look at the intersection of human neurology and the way modern AI actually parses information.
Because let's start with the human element.
Yeah, let's look at the human element first. So when a user lands on a site that's heavily loaded with features, widgets, you know, walls of text, it triggers an immediate spike in cognitive load.
Which is basically the mental processing power required to just figure out what is going on.
Exactly. Every single navigation dropdown, every auto-playing background video, every paragraph of generic marketing speak they have to scroll past just to find a basic price point that operates as a tax on their mental energy.
Oh, wow. Attacks?
Yeah, because the brain is essentially an energy conservation machine. When a high-intent visitor arrives, they only possess a finite amount of cognitive stamina that they're willing to spend to solve their specific problem.
So when they hit that wall of complexity, their brain physically shifts gears.
Right.
It stops saying, you know, I want to purchase a solution, and starts saying, this environment's just too complex. I need to conserve energy and escape.
Yeah.
It triggers decision paralysis.
And that transition happens in, like, milliseconds. A high intent buyer, and by that I mean someone who bypassed the AI summaries and actually clicked through to your domain with their credit card essentially in hand, they're looking for zero friction.
They just want the answer.
Exactly. If you force them to sift through a labyrinth of secondary offers just to find your core service, they will immediately bounce to a competitor who offers a straight line to the checkout page.
It reminds me of the psychological difference between dining at a massive chain restaurant versus like a high-end Michelin star establishment.
Oh, that's a great comparison.
Right. Because at the chain, they hand you a 50-page spiral-bound laminated book, and you are flipping through burgers, sushi, tacos, pasta.
It's exhausting.
It is. You sit there staring at it, completely paralyzed by the sheer volume of variables, and you end up ordering the chicken because your brain just short-circuits.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the Michelin star restaurant, they hand you a single piece of heavy cardstock. There are maybe six items on the entire menu.
And you don't feel restricted by that cardstock. You feel this immense relief.
Yes, exactly, relief.
You trust the chef's authority implicitly because they aren't trying to be an expert in both sushi and tacos. They are making a definitive statement about what they do best.
So what does this all mean for us? How do we translate that relief to a digital storefront? Like, how do we fix the equivalent of the 50-page laminated menu without completely gutting the business?
Well, Jane calls the solution strategic subtraction. And this is not just an aesthetic exercise where you just hide buttons behind a sleek, minimalist hamburger menu or something.
Right. It's not just a redesign.
No, not at all. It is the practice of ruthlessly auditing your conversion pathways and physically removing every single element that distracts from the primary action you want the user to take.
Which, I mean, sounds great in theory, but in a corporate environment, friction is manufactured internally.
Right.
Stakeholders constantly demand digital space. Sales insists on uploading a new interactive brochure. HR lobbies for a massive careers portal right on the homepage to attract talent. And marketing wants to embed, like, live feeds from three different social platforms.
And that internal tug of war is exactly what destroys the user experience. You end up treating the homepage like an internal corporate bulletin board rather than a precision tool for customer acquisition.
Wow, yeah, a corporate bulletin board.
Strategic subtraction really requires the operational discipline to tell internal departments that the user's need for a frictionless solution simply outweighs the department's desire for visibility.
Okay, let's unpack this a bit, though. Because if human brains are punishing us for bloated websites by bouncing, you'd think the search engine algorithms would at least reward us for all those thousands of pages of keywords, right? I mean, for two decades, the absolute gospel of digital marketing was content is king.
Oh, yeah. Build a 500-page site, cast a massive semantic net, and sweep up all the long-tail search traffic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you're saying that's over.
Completely over. The AI landscape of 2026 has completely inverted that logic. Chasing raw traffic volume through massive content libraries is largely a dead strategy now.
Really? Dead?
Pretty much. The modern answer engines, whether we are talking about the major conversational LLMs or, you know, integrated search generative experiences, they are intercepting the user's query and synthesizing the answer directly on the results page.
Ah, so they never even make it to your site.
Right. They are delivering the solution before a link is ever clicked. So a 500-page website built to catch stray clicks on basic questions is basically a relic.
It's just sitting there gathering digital dust.
Worse than a relic, actually. It actively harms your visibility.
Wait, really? How does it harm it?
What's fascinating here is when an AI bot evaluates who to cite as the definitive source for its synthesized answer, it looks for something called entity clarity.
Entity clarity, okay.
Yeah, these models use massive vector databases to map the relationship between a brand and a specific domain of knowledge. They are basically trying to assign a mathematical confidence score to your expertise.
Okay, so if you are an accounting firm, the AI is calculating exactly how confident it is that your entity represents the absolute pinnacle of accounting knowledge.
Exactly. And if your firm's website has 500 pages, but say 300 of those pages are loosely tangential blog posts trying to capture generic business keywords, you know, articles about office culture or basic supply chain definitions or software reviews, you are muddying your own vector mapping.
You're confusing the machine.
Yes. The AI struggles to build a clear, concentrated profile of your core expertise. By ruthlessly pruning all that tangential noise, you actually condense your data. You prove to the AI model that you are a highly specialized, definitive authority in your specific niche, which makes you the preferred citation.
Okay, but if AI answer engines are just scraping the web and delivering the final answer without requiring a click, does that mean publishing content online is just a total waste of resources now?
Well,
like, why even bother having a blog or a resource section if a machine is just going to intercept the reader anyway?
Jane draws a very hard line here. Publishing isn't dead, but publishing fluff content is completely dead.
Fluff being like the generic 1,000-word articles written exclusively to target a high-volume search phrase.
Right.
The top 10 benefits of cloud bookkeeping type of post.
Yeah, exactly. Any article that simply reorganizes existing consensus knowledge is fluff. An LLM can synthesize the benefits of cloud bookkeeping in about 3 seconds. It already possesses that data in its training weights.
Right, it doesn't need you for that.
It really doesn't. If you are dedicating marketing budget to producing or promoting generic summaries in 2026, you are basically throwing money into a furnace. You are trying to compete with a machine that does consensus synthesis perfectly and instantly.
So what survives the purge then? What kind of content actually forces the AI to cite you and forces the user to click through to your domain?
You have to replace the outdated metric of keyword volume with a new metric called information gain.
Information gain.
Yes. When an AI crawler or a human analyst reads your page, they need to extract net new information that does not exist anywhere else in the digital ecosystem.
I love how that frames the goal. It physically requires you to leverage lived human experience, because LLMs mathematically cannot generate novel, unrecorded events.
Exactly. They can only predict patterns based on what has already happened. Information gain is achieved through proprietary data, original research, and hyper-specific case studies.
Give me an example.
Well, you stop writing about what is supply chain optimization, and instead you publish a deeply technical breakdown of, say, how our firm re-engineered the logistics pipeline for a mid-size automotive manufacturer in Ohio to reduce transit taxes by 18%.
Right, because an AI cannot invent the details of that Ohio manufacturer.
Precisely.
It lacks the first-party data. So to provide that highly specific, valuable answer to a user, it has absolutely no choice but to cite your firm as the source of truth.
And this shift fundamentally changes the business model of digital marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Publishing generic fluff meant you were always just renting traffic.
Renting traffic.
Yeah, you were at the mercy of algorithm updates, paying for low-intent clicks, constantly fighting for attention. Transitioning to an information gain model builds market authority. You stop chasing the algorithm and you become the foundational data the algorithm actually relies on.
Okay, so we execute the audit, we delete the fluff, we kill the generic keyword blogs, and we commit entirely to information gain.
Right.
We have our concentrated core of high-value pages.
Right.
How do we restructure the actual architecture of the site to prevent that cognitive overload we talked about earlier?
Well, Jane outlines two non-negotiable structural rules for this phase. First, you must prune the navigation. DoubleDome's data suggests that if your main navigation menu has more than 5 top-level items, you are immediately introducing decision fatigue.
5 items. I mean, that is an incredibly strict constraint for a sprawling B2B or enterprise company.
It is, but it forces aggressive prioritization. You have to strip away the secondary and tertiary pages from the immediate view. You consolidate overlapping services into cohesive, jargon-free pathways. The navigation should feel invisible, essentially.
Makes sense.
The user shouldn't have to pause and decode your internal corporate terminology just to figure out where to click.
Imagine pruning the menu is really only half the battle, though. If I manage to navigate through those 5 intuitive links and I land on a service page, but that page is begging me to download a white paper and watch a 20-minute promotional video and immediately book a consultation call, I mean, I'm right back in decision paralysis.
Which brings us to the second structural rule: consolidate conversion goals. A high converting page is engineered to do one thing.
Just one.
Just one. When you place 3 different calls to action with 3 different levels of commitment on a single page, you are forcing the user to negotiate with themselves.
It's like the physical equivalent of walking into an electronics store, right? You're just trying to find the checkout register to buy a cable, and a salesperson intercepts you screaming 3 different offers.
Oh, absolutely.
Sign up for our high-interest credit card. Take this free trial software. Book an in-home installation. It completely overwhelms the senses.
Absolutely.
You don't evaluate the offers. You drop the cable, and you walk out the door.
That is exactly what happens online. You are demanding that the user calculate the ROI of their own time and personal data at the exact moment they're supposed to be moving effortlessly forward.
Right.
By stripping away those secondary asks, you eliminate the friction. And there is a massive back-end benefit to this single goal structure, too. It completely cleans up your analytics.
Well, because multi-goal pages create an attribution nightmare.
Yeah.
You never really know which element convinced them to stay or caused them to leave.
Exactly. When your pathways are stripped down to single definitive actions, you stop tracking vanity metrics. You don't need to justify your marketing spend by pointing at vague impression shares or, you know, average time on page.
Yeah.
You build a streamlined, fully transparent tracking dashboard that delivers the only metric that actually matters. Spent X, made Y.
Pure revenue attribution. I love that. But we have to address the massive looming fear that stops most companies from ever executing this.
The SEO panic.
The SEO panic. If I go into my CMS tomorrow and physically delete 80% of my index pages, the old blogs, the redundant service pages, the bloated archives, doesn't that obliterate my historical SEO value?
Jane addresses this directly in the source material because it is by far the most common paralyzing fear. The reality is that pruning thin, low-value AI summarizable content actually supercharges your search performance.
Wait, supercharges it?
Yeah. Think of a website's overall authority as a fixed volume of water. If you pour that water over a massive 500-page surface area, it spreads incredibly thin It is shallow everywhere.
Oh, I see. But if you prune away 400 of those low-converting pages and channel that exact same volume of authority into just 100 high-margin, information-gain-heavy pages, those remaining pages become incredibly deep and authoritative. Exactly. The concentration of value is exactly what the AI answer engines are looking for.
It improves the technical clarity of the crawl.
And we really cannot overlook the back-end mechanics of this either. Paris Jain isn't just a marketing theorist sketching out funnels on a whiteboard. His 17 years at Double Dome are rooted in deep technical back-end engineering.
Right. He works in PHP, Xen Framework, WordPress, Magento. He understands how code physically interacts with a server.
So when he advocates for a website simplification audit, he isn't just talking about giving the front-end interface a pretty minimalist redesign. He is talking about dissecting the technical backbone of the architecture.
Okay, so what does that look like in practice?
Well, every dormant legacy page, every unused plugin, every convoluted script left over from like a 2018 marketing campaign, all of that creates database bloat.
Right.
When an AI crawler pings your server to verify a fact or assess entity clarity, it operates on strict timeout limits. If your complex, bloated PHP scripts increase your time to first byte by even a single second, the AI crawler will abandon the query and cite a faster competitor.
Wow. So ruthless subtraction cleans up the database queries, accelerates the server response times, and essentially rolls out a red carpet for the AI to parse your expertise without burning computational resources.
Exactly. It aligns your technical infrastructure directly with your marketing strategy. You identify exactly where high-intent traffic is abandoning the funnel due to cognitive load, and you physically surgically remove those roadblocks from the code.
You know, looking at Paris Jain's background, there is a detail that perfectly encapsulates this entire philosophy. When he isn't deep in back-end Magento architecture or managing sprawling digital campaigns, his bio notes that he spends his time visiting temples, retreating to the countryside with his family, and playing cricket.
Oh, that's interesting. The contrast between navigating the chaotic, hyper-accelerated digital ecosystem of 2026 and seeking out those specific offline environments is really striking.
It really is. It requires an intense appreciation for clarity. Whether it is the focused, highly structured discipline of a cricket match, the silence of a temple, or just the open space of the countryside, he clearly values environments where the noise is stripped away so the signal can actually be processed.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
He's taken the psychological necessity of peace and simplicity and hard-coding it into corporate digital architecture.
Because he recognizes that the human brain requires space to make confident decisions, whether that brain is resting in the countryside or evaluating enterprise software vendors on a B2B platform.
Exactly. And I think we have arrived at the core insight of this entire deep dive. If you are staring at a plateau in your revenue and your instinct is to tell your team to build a bigger net, pause. In the 2026 landscape, a dominant growth engine is never built by adding to the noise. It is built by ruthlessly, systematically subtracting the friction.
Absolutely. And that leaves you with a very tangible, immediate challenge to consider when you evaluate your own digital footprint tomorrow. If a catastrophic server error forced you to permanently delete 80% of your website today, and you were only permitted to salvage the absolute bare essentials required to prove your undeniable, unique expertise to both an exhausted human buyer and a highly logical AI, what specific pages would make the cut?
What survives the purge? Think about that Michelin star menu. What are your definitive 6 items? Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the architecture of modern growth. We will see you next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows, all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.